You may be serious. Oh, what do we got here? What do we got? Signs. What's the signs? Beautiful, I think. I'm having trouble reading them from here. Pass them up. Pass them up to me. You may be seated, and I'll may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I've got a lot to cover here today, and we won't cover it all, but that you got to remember what the great Kohan Michael Sheets Hawkins brought out, because I'm going to add to it here this morning, and it shows you that Yahweh, you know, had everything planned out and guiding us, guiding you, and he's just showing you that his actions are these actions we're seeing, the things we're seeing. You know, he's in full control of these things and bringing them about. Now, I've got a number of articles, but I'm going to wait till next week. But there is one here. If you saw the Brownwood Lake and the way it's drying up, mad cow disease spreading big time. And they said they were going to start using recycled water. Here it is, right here. Recycled water that the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality approved a controversial proposal from the city of Brownwood. Imagine drinking a glass of that. You know, you might get it close enough to smell. But believe it or not, there's a prophecy. I'll bring it to you next week, Yahweh willing. It says he's going to give them urine to drink. Since they didn't like their blessings, then let them be taken from them, King David said. And, of course, that's the shoes that they're wearing right now, and we'll have to see how long they're willing to wear these before they repent. But Yahweh has shown that there is a group that's going to repent. The reason I wanted the great Kohan Michael Sheets Hawkins to bring this, I found out that he's the one that wrote, that drew the picture. I first thought it was the two Heiler brother Kohans that drew it and put it together with a computer, and I think that's what I said in one of the sermons. But then I find out that he had been inspired to do this years ago and was still working on it. And so I said, you're the one that's got to draw this. Now, in May the 29th, the great Kohan Michael Sheets Hawkins drew the picture of the olive tree. Now, that was when, of course, I think that was his last time to draw it. He thinks that was the date just before the Passover that he used, and of course later that tree was used in the along with the children singing the great commandment. Now on June 8th, you've got to get all this, then you've got to see how Yahweh did it for you. On June 8th, the tree was put on top of the sanctuary about Pentecost 2011, shown while children are singing the great commandment. On August the 25th was when Yahweh showed me, Yahshua showed me, the donkey cloud. It was a magnificent sight, and when I first glanced up and saw that donkey, is easily to recognize that it was a donkey, and it was very plain, very distinct. I thought, yeah, this is how Mary gets her pictures up there. But the cloud wasn't moving, and it just sat there. And I got to looking at it, and I said, no, this is not like Mary uses. This is of Yahweh, I said. And I saw the details of this donkey and plus the pack on her back, or his back, and her ears pointed forward and her head raised up like she is staring at this cloud in front of her. And this was over the homestead where I went back and checked it out later, and sure enough, it's over the homestead and reached to the west and then back to the east a long way, just totally covering the house of Yahweh property. So, you know, all of this adds up, but the things I'm going to show you it even gets better. But that was on the 25th the 25th, when I saw this, and then I told you about it on the 27th of August, 2011, told the whole house of Yahweh on that Sabbath day. The 28th, the artist started working on this picture on a picture for the donkey cloud. On the 28th, that's when I turned 77 years old. Was on the date they started working on that cloud. That'd probably add into that thing too. Now they were able to get the donkey pretty close to right, but they were having trouble with the clouds. And they would bring it once a week, and I would look at it, and I'd say, "No, it's not like that. It was. Like, you got to take this out. Put something else here." They would take it back and redo it. Took them about a week. I think they're getting aggravated with me. But I said, "We've got to get this right. This is coming from Yahweh and Yahshua, and we've got to get it perfect and present it to the people." So we kept sending it back and back and getting it back, and I'd no, this is not right. But anyway, we kept working on it. Now, on the 28th was when they were drawing, working on this donkey. Now comes, we're still working on it, but there comes September 28th now. From August 28th to September 28th. Still working on it. And here comes the Feast of Trumpets. That's the 28th of September. Now, the night before, we were watching for the new moon. And sundown would start that day, the feast, the night before. The feast was, the 28th was the night we watched the day before the new moon. Then the feast was September the 29th, was the Feast of Trumpets. Now, that night was cloudy, really cloudy. And we were watching intensely because it was a very important new moon. We were all up on top of the sanctuary, older priests, younger priests, everyone. And I thought I saw the moon, and I said, "I think I see it," but I could only see a portion of it in the cloud. About that time, the phone rang, and a very faithful watcher of the new moon says, "I've spotted the new moon." And I said, "Well, I think I see it, but it's cloudy here." And I said, "Do you see the clouds?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "Tell me exactly where you see it in the clouds." Now, I didn't know what was taking place at that time and didn't even think about it. But if it hadn't have occurred like it did occur, this person would have seen the new moon, but they never would have studied the cloud around it. And the cloud... The cloud was the important thing that night. And when this person was trying to tell me where it was in the cloud, then they were describing that cloud, and they were looking at that cloud very closely, and it was put in their memory. Because it didn't make sense what was taking place then, like it does now after we find out months later. But Yahweh put it in that person's mind to look at that cloud and describe to me where the moon was. And I said, "Yes, that's it. I see it. I can't see all of it, but I see part of it." That was the night of the Feast of Trumpets. Now, we were still trying to get the cloud down that I saw on the 25th. It was after this new moon that I saw the tree on top of the sanctuary sign. While at the studio doing my mail, getting ready to do a show, a prophetic word show. Now, I'm not sure about this next date, and I don't know if I can actually prove it, but I know that I did talk about it to you, so we've got to have that in a sermon. I brought it the very next Sabbath and told you that I saw this tree, and I recognized that that tree was actually the cloud in front of the donkey that I saw on the 25th. Because I'd been trying to describe this cloud to the artist, so I had the cloud firmly fixed in my mind, and when I saw this tree, I said, that part sticking out towards the donkey, that's it. That's the same thing that's the cloud that I saw in front of the donkey. Now, it even gets better. Well, this, I don't know this date, but we're going to get the date. Not sure of it. I think it was October 1st. And I called Eliah Hyler first and Kohan Eliah Hyler Hawkins first to tell him. And he said, tell him of this cloud and the donkey and being like the tree on top of the sanctuary. That was, let's see, the donkey was stirring at, was the tree and was used in the children's song that was playing on the television on the world show when I was there doing my mail, and the phone rang. I picked up the phone and I turned and looked at the television set. Now, I know some of you are remembering this. I turned and looked at the television set, which it was to my left, and I saw the children singing, and here was this tree on top of the sanctuary that I thought the Hylers had put there, the Kohans. Now, before that time, Eliyahu was using the paintings from the artist to try to put together this banner. And he was working on his computer using those paintings until I saw that, and he had been working on this donkey banner now since September the 20th, 2011, but could not get it right and couldn't get the clouds right. All of it was being corrected week after week, and of course we kept running out of time. I wanted a banner for the feast and hoping that we would get it right before we made the banner. I think it was October 1st when I made that call, but I'm not sure. They're not sure. We're going to check it out and make sure, try to anyway. Now, he agreed that on October the 8th, this was the Day of Atonement, he called and wanted me to look at a finished copy. I looked at it and I said, yes, that's it. And I approved it on that day, October the 8th, the Day of Atonement. The banner was ordered. We couldn't order it on Sunday. October the 8th was a Sabbath day. The Sunday, everything was closed. Monday was a holiday, so everything was closed at that time. So we couldn't actually order the banner until Tuesday, October the 11th. And the people, due to his pushing and shoving and insisting, they made this thing for us in one day. And we hung it that night, the night of the feast. Praise Yahweh. So the banner was ordered on the 11th. That was a Tuesday because Monday was the holiday. And now get this. It was, now I don't know this date. I don't know this date for sure. Not sure about October the 1st. But the Sabbath before the feast, when I got through with my work, and I decided to go to the studio, this was all being led about for a purpose. The prophetic word channel was on. I sat at the table there to get my mail done, and that's when I saw it. That's when I saw this date. I'm not sure about the date, but we will get it, Yahweh willing. The children were singing. I was rejoicing to hear the song. This great commandment, and the children, they did such a great job of it, and the tree standing there over them. That's when I called both the Kohans and said, "This is it. This is it. This was working on that particular banner." He said, "No, Kohan Yeshua Hyler Hawkins was working on that banner. That Eliyah told me this." So I called Yeshua Hyler Hawkins, and I said, "Remember, this was just a few days before the feast now. And the feast started on the 13th. That was the Feast of Tabernacles of this last feast." He said, "I will start on this tonight." As soon as I told him that, he said, and I remember him saying that, "I will start on this tonight and get it corrected." Then he showed me the copy on the 8th. The 10th was a holiday, so we ordered it on the 11th and got it out, and got it hung. The company did it in one day's time. The banner was picked up the 12th and hung in the sanctuary after sunset while we were taking confessions on the 13th, which started the Feast of Tabernacles. The woman that spotted this new moon at the Feast of Trumpets, this is very important. I told you Yahweh was putting it in her mind. He had to, because she had to describe it to me, so she had it in her mind. On the 24th of December, after I said what I did about the tree being over the sanctuary, was the cloud in front of the donkey, she called me and said, she told me that the, he said, she told me, and I told you, that she saw the tree. This was on the 24th of December. She saw the tree, and that the Feast of Trumpets cloud that she saw that night that was placed in her mind by Yahweh, because she had to describe it. She said, "That looks like the same cloud. That tree shape looks like the same cloud as that Feast of Trumpet cloud that I described you to you the night of the Feast of Trumpets." Now, if you see what Yahweh did here in etching this into her mind, she was able to see that tree after I said, this looks like the cloud that I saw in front of the donkey. She said, "Hey, this looks like the cloud of the Feast of Trumpets, the night of the Feast of Trumpets." Gets better. So, when I was leaving the stage, Kohan Eliyah Hyler Hawkins told me when I was leaving the stage, "I took pictures of the cloud at the Feast of Trumpets, and I'll try to find it," he said. He said, "I think I still have that disc." That was on the 24th of December. Last Sabbath, that was the 31st of December. Last Sabbath, he told me when we was leaving the stage, I asked if he had found it, and he said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Did it match?" He said, "I like to flip." He said, "I had the picture of the tree in my computer. I found the picture of the cloud Feast of Trumpets, the new moon." He said, "I dropped it in, and it matched perfectly." Yeah. Now, this was last Sabbath. I found the picture, and it matched perfectly. If you can figure out by now what Yahweh put together here, you know, he first inspired the great Kohan Michael Sheets Hawkins to draw that tree. And he said he worked on this. He was telling me this morning that he had worked on this, seemed like for about a year or so, or maybe longer. He said the first one was back when we was at the press room in town. But he said this, he kept improving it and changing it and so forth till he came up with this one on that date that I gave you a while ago. And then on the Feast of Trumpets then, he etches this into a person's mind that would tell us later. So we could go back and find it and actually see that Yahweh is the one that did this. Anyway, that right there you should remember. You should be very much encouraged. Let's turn over to Matithya 24. You should be very much encouraged about this because Yahweh, we're getting to where now we're close enough to being like him that they're starting to make contact with us. And that's what this is about, these signs in the heaven. If you look at Matithya 24 and verse 30 again. Now he's speaking about this time period that we're in right now, and you saw the news how they're getting ready to go to the great nuclear wars. And they're going to make this the final one. Now, if you remember the plans, remember what Malachi Martin brought out in his book, The Keys of This Blood. You know, he actually tells there that the Catholic Church actually dates back to the Aaronautic priesthood, and they're claiming that they are the Aaronautic priesthood. I say so too, but they're not the priesthood that of Yahweh. They are the ones that rebelled against Moshe. And of course, they said, well, we're holy too. You know, you're not the only one that's holy. That was the beginning of their push to become the leaders in the world, which they did. And of course, they've come down till now, and Yahweh has allowed them. He said nothing will be restrained from them. And he's allowing this to take place. He's held it back a while until he could get us to a certain point and know for sure that we were going to stay in his work forever and know for sure that nothing was going to get us out of this. And and that's the reason I said when I saw this, I said, I think you got it made. But I know that Yahweh is cut off from the world. And, of course, he doesn't hear sinners, but he's hearing us now very closely. He's answering us before we call now, and he's letting us know this. Well, here we see this, the Savior himself talking about this time period we're in here and telling about how horrible this is going to be. There was one of the articles that I saw that actually was describing this in that manner, and I thought then that the man, I wondered if he was listening to the sermons we've brought, but he was talking about we are at a very dangerous crossroads in our history. And then he goes into talking about the films that you saw here, the news, just a bit ago, where they're getting lined up and ready because they are assured that Russia and China and Pakistan, maybe some others are lined up with them to try to destroy the U.S., but they want to, with a first strike, try to take them out, devastate these countries to where they can't fight back. Now, this seems to be the scenario that the news analysts are coming up with. I only know what prophecy says. And prophecy shows there's going to be a third of man killed over that fourth part of the earth in and around the great river Euphrates, which includes that whole area there, Russia, China, all of them, this in that fourth part of the earth. That includes them all. Well, the Savior was telling about this at this time. We're talking about a time when the people, and that's what the man said in this article, they're confused, they're bewildered, they don't know what is coming next, they don't know what to do to stop it, they don't know what to do to make things better, and everyone is scared. Yahweh says that they will kill them. Many of them will commit suicide for fear of what is coming on the earth. Now, that's how bad it's getting at this time, and we see it in the news also. And the Savior was speaking of this and says in verse 21 and 22 that it's going to be the worst ever. There's never been a time like this before. And the earth will be mourning, and he says immediately after, in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light. This shows the nuclear burning that is going to take place and the debris that scientists know will darken the sun. He also says here, in this time of mourning, when the earth is mourning, he says, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man. I've often told you, this is not the Son of Man that you're going to see, but the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. In other words, he made it. He is actually alive and well, and sitting at the side of Yahweh's throne, the right hand of Yahweh, ruling, judging the house of Yahweh, as we're shown. Turn over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And he's showing us a sign that he is alive and well and ruling. I needed no coaxing to believe that. In fact, I said in the song the children were singing, I wrote, we haven't asked for miracles, and don't. We only ask for your righteousness and to be called by your name. We believe without seeing. All of that is in that song of praise to Yahweh. And Hebrews 10, we see in verse 21, the high priest over the house of Yahweh. Now, we know for sure we have a high priest over the house of Yahweh. We know for sure in verse 16 that he's teaching the same covenant that was made by Yahweh at the beginning with his people, the laws and prophecies of Yahweh. That's what we believe in. And the more you believe these prophecies and trust in them, the more you'll see the things taking place around you is actually prophesied, and Yahweh is leading us. Well, back here now to Matthew 24 again, he is showing us a sign, not the whole world, but he said, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. How much better could it be, a better sign than this with the donkeys, that he says in Genesis 49, where Yahweh tells Yahshua, says in verse 1, this is the last days. That was what Yahshua is showing us in Matthew 24. The last days, verse 3, the apostles asked him, what will be the end? The last days, or the end of the ages. And he was describing the very situation that the world is standing in right now, getting all their ships and bombs ready to kill a third part of the people on that fourth part of the earth, but it won't stop there. Prophecy shows it will continue until every nation on earth, and that's what it says too, every nation on earth is going to suffer this plague that's coming forth from this 12 tribes. Plague that is described in Revelation 18 as sin and iniquity. Well, here now in Genesis 49, verse 1, he speaks of the last days, the last two words. I'll show you what will take place in the last days. Then he said, the scepter, the righteous scepter, as is described in Hebrews also as being the scepter of righteousness is what he is to inherit. He inherited that. He lived by that scepter of righteousness. Now, what is being presented to him by his house right now is righteousness. And that is his glory. We are his glory. Yes. That's what he inherited there, the scepter of righteousness. And of course, this is what we will rule by. And this is what Yahweh is bringing about. The scepter will not depart from Yada until, nor the ruling staff from between his feet until he comes whom tribute belongs. Well, we are his tribute. Well, the world's tribute is taxes, of course. Taxes, and it's getting to be nonsense, they say. they won't stop raising the taxes. And they keep doubling the taxes and taxes. But that's not Yahshua's tribute. His is us. The righteousness of Yahweh, practicing the righteousness of Yahweh. That tribute belongs to Yahshua, our high priest, who is guiding the house to that perfection right now. And increasing your faith should be tremendously now. There's no way that you could see what has taken place and think that I could do this. There's no way I could form these clouds. You know, and he's not up there blowing smoke rings and doing this, you know. If you think of the power, of putting that cloud there with a donkey and a cloud under it, and a cloud that we find out later is the same tree that one of our priests actually drew and didn't find it out until the Feast of Trumpets later. And then December the 24th or 26th, they tell me, I think this is the same cloud. Then we check it out, and sure enough, it is. You know, this is of Yahweh. There's no other power could do something like that, brethren. You think about what it would take to put a cloud here and form words with it. Him sitting at the right hand of Yahweh in heaven, governing the house of Yahweh, and here he creates a perfect cloud. Clouds are made up of gases, of vapors. They move with the wind. So the wind had to be at his control too, for him to sit there, hold that in front of me, till he could get a okie to understand what was going on. But he did. He held it there right in front of me till I could study the details of that thing and see what a marvelous sight that was. The same thing occurred here over the sanctuary again with the signs that our priests are still working on. But that was held in motionless for quite some time till they could get it down, drawn. One of them had to run inside and draw it on a blackboard. The other one had something to write with and stood there and looked at it and wrote it down. Try holding smoke somewhere. Try getting it out of the house sometime. Now, you can see the power he's got if you just think about it a minute. It's like telling the disciples, go down here and throw a hook in and a fish will get on it with a coin in his mouth. How in the world could he bring something like that about? Well, you're the only ones on the face of the earth that know this. You're the only ones that know how Yahweh actually created the heaven and the earth in 7 days. And mankind. And rested the seventh day. Created all of this in 6 days and rested the seventh day, creating the Sabbath. All of it together took 7 days to put together. If you had the power to put a sign and smoke, a smoke sign over the sanctuary, you'd have that power. And you're going to have it one day. Praise Yahweh. And notice obedience of the nations. That's his tribute. That's his tribute, not taxes. Of course, the tithe go to Yahweh. The second tithe go to you. The third tithe go to poor. They're all lined out. But his tribute is righteousness. It's obedience. And if you're not obedient to him, you're not contributing. You're not contributing to his job and his position as high priest over the house of Yahweh. If you steal from Yahweh, you're not contributing to Yahshua. But you, if you're doing this right and being loyal and obedient to Yahweh, that's what you see right here belongs to our high priest Yahshua. And the way he does this is he tethers his donkeys to the vine. That's him. The vine is him. I am the vine. He established that firmly. You're not the vines. He's the vine. You are the branches and the donkeys. Yes, a wonderful sight to see in heaven. And we're going to be there one day. And the colts, that's you, to the choice branch. That's me. And he will wash his garments with the white. Well, if I had that new translation, I'd tell you what that actually meant. But this right here shows you his power, shows you his tribute, what he is getting, what his reward is for this. And here he's telling us back in Matthew 24, verse 30, now, at this time of trouble, when all the earth is mourning, which all the earth is mourning at this time, you can see it for sure, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Appear that sign. In Daniel, if you turn there quickly, Daniel, the 7th chapter, we see this is a prophecy that Yahweh. Now, Daniel was a very righteous man. He was very concerned about the 12 tribes of Israel and how they were fighting against one another. They were killing each other. They had formed separated themselves into nations and kingdoms, and of course they were all fighting one another. And he was weeping about it. He was mourning about it. And Yahweh showed him then his plan. His plan is shown in Daniel 9. Thank you. Oh, boy. That's what they're holding up. That is beautiful. And thank you. I'm going to keep this. No. I'll get it back to you. I'll leave it at the North office, but that is beautiful. I love you too. In chapter 9, verse 24, it says, he showed Daniel the 70 weeks of years, and I brought this out in the book, The Mark of the Beast, I think, the first time. And he shows everything that's going to take place, including our Savior, Yahshua, Messiah, suffering death, on the stake at the hands of the 12 tribes, killing him, murdering him. And then he shows the rest of it in a time period frame there, of course, being split up into other things. But go back to Daniel 7 here now, and look here at verse 13, because first off, he shows you the four kingdoms that would come out of this whole mess. All out of the 12 tribes, they would form a super kingdom. And Yahweh allowed them to do this. And of course, they're going to find out that their super kingdom still can't bring peace. Because you have people inside the super kingdom that are willing to kill themselves to kill others. This is how bad the hatred has gotten. And it's still going on. We moved out of Iraq, it's still people are being killed. with people bombing. There's no peace there. What did we accomplish? Well, we got the oil. We got contracts on all the oil. Hurt not the oil. Well, that's what we got. Afghanistan, there's nothing solved there. Anything solved in Egypt? No, prophecy shows, I think it's Isaiah 9, shows what's going to take place with Egypt. And the commotion is going on right there now. Prophecy shows every bit of it taking place at this time. When people think they can bring peace by force, that's the reason police departments were created. That, and they saw the money in police departments. Then the lawyers saw the money, and they trained, said, well, we want certain people to be lawyers only. So they limited this field to a certain amount and named all their daughters Sue. You know, Sue. Well, they should have anyway. The lawsuits, you know, they see the money, the big money in it. And of course, this itself brings oppression to the people and hardship. I see people, you know, I see they got a man stopped on the road that can't even maintain a vehicle. His vehicle is run down. He's trying to work, maybe got lawnmowers or something in it, and they're standing there writing him a ticket. Because he didn't have something, a tail light out or a stoplight was out or something. So they make it even worse than that on him. Next thing, he'll be losing his house because he can't pay his rent because he had to pay the ticket to keep from going to jail or got thrown in jail and lost his job. You know, this is the oppression that comes with this kind of system. Instead of helping, it hurts worse. And this is what we see in Egypt when they, you know, they kicked the king out. The king was protecting them from a lot of things, but they didn't know it. And of course, they did it at the advice of, as you know, the person who that is shown in Revelation 6 is supposed to be riding on a white horse. Well, of course, that's more the deception that you see, like Santa Claus coming down the chimney. White horse supposed to represent peace. It don't represent peace. The first thing he does is take peace from the earth. The Catholic Church, the Pope, the leaders of the kings of the earth, is saying we can overpower our enemies if we do it in this manner. So they're lining up right now, as Revelation shows, they're lining up to kill a third part of the people, over a fourth part of the earth, by nuclear activity, famine, and disease epidemics. That's what they're lining up to do, and they're going to do it. Prophecy says they will do it. Then after that, they still won't repent. Well, Daniel shows you these four beasts that came together into one. The fourth beast was the strongest of all that took over the world under the leadership of the Catholic Church, becoming the Holy Roman Empire. The Pope said recently, we need to recreate or bring to life the Holy Roman Empire again in order to solve these problems. It couldn't solve the problems back then. It was the cause of the problems back then. They had peace in Galilee. Those people kept the laws of Yahweh and they had peace except when it was disrupted by this beastly system. Well, Daniel was showed all of this. Daniel was very concerned and Yahweh said, don't worry, this is all under control. The same thing he told Iob. I have power to do this and I'm going to bring it about. And Daniel believed that. Well, here now in chapter 8, you see the little horn leading the fourth beastly system that was put together by four leading powers. Now in verse 8 of chapter 7 of Daniel, you see these horns. And of course, this is the same four horns that represent is represented by the four horns of the altar of death, where all the sacrifices was done by the trillions, and that, of course, is what we have seen from this system. Now, if you look on past this now to verse 13, he says, "And I saw in the night vision." From this system right here, he sees in the night vision. If you look at the last part of verse 11, you see the great burning, till they're destroyed with this great burning, or burning flame. This is the nuclear wars that he's speaking of here, that he shows that this system that he shows him earlier here, the four beasts come together to form the Holy Roman Empire, and the great burning that takes place. It's mentioned in detail later and said by several prophets, including Revelations. And then he says, as at verse 12, concerning the rest of the beast, they had their governments taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Now, this is what's going to take place of the wars that are fixing to start right now. And we see them lined up for it. And then verse 13, he says, "And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days." This is a vision now. It's not the real thing, but coming with the clouds to the Ancient of Days, and they were brought together before him. That is, his tribute was brought together with him. This was described in Genesis 49, 10, and 11. That's speaking of us. "And there was given him ruling authority and glory and a kingdom." We are his glory. Don't forget that. The apostles said this themselves plainly. We are his glory if we bring forth the right tribute. "That all peoples, nations, and languages, all that's left of them, should obey him. The government is an everlasting government which will not pass away, and the kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." Now, this, you see here, one like the Son of Man comes with clouds. Now, this was a vision, a prophecy. It was a prophecy. But the signs we are seeing now is in Matithya here, 24, go back there. "The sign of the Son of Man being in heaven," we're seeing that right now. And Daniel shows us next what is going to take place with us, because we're going to be brought together with him. But right now, he's showing us it's near. And then in verse 30, "Then will appear," see the darkening of the sun in verse 29, "the shaking of the earth, the heavens." Then verse 30, "Then will appear," in this same time period, see, "then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, at the time when all the tribes of the earth are mourning." Now look to, hold your place right there, and look to Luke 21. Luke 21. Hold your place in Matthew 24:30. Look to Luke 24:1. You got to put these two together. Luke 21 and verse 11. Now, Matthew 24:30 says a sign of the Son of Man. And here we see in the last part of verse 11, sights and great signs from heaven. Great signs from heaven. If you put that together with Matthew 24:30, "and there will be a sign of the Son of Man." This is a sign of the Son of Man from Luke 21:11, from heaven. The sign of the Son of Man from heaven. Made especially, brethren, for us. In this time period, sign from heaven. The Amplified Bible says great signs from heaven. I got to read you this. King James Version says, this is Luke 21 now, and here it is, Luke 21. Now, verse 7 of Luke 21 says, this is the King James Version, I'm going to read you, it says, and they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Because he was telling about the tribulation. This is a King James Version. He says, what sign will there be? Verse 7. Now, if you go on down to verse 11, the King James Version says, great sign shall there be from heaven. The Amplified Bible, remember, what sign shall there be? The Amplified Bible says in verse 11, there will be mighty and violent earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilence, plagues, malignant and contagious or infectious epidemic diseases, which are deadly and devastating. And there will be sights of terror and great signs from heaven. It makes it just a little bit plainer. Now, verse 25 of Luke 21, King James Version says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. The Amplified Bible says in verse 25, signs in the sun, in the moon, and stars, and upon the earth there will be distress terrible and anguish of nations in bewilderment. What do we see right now? We see it everywhere throughout the nations, in America too. And perplexity, he says, without recourses, with no recourse, nothing that they can do. We're left wanting, embarrassed, in doubt, not knowing which way to turn. At the roaring of the sea, the echo, and the tossing of the sea. In verse 31, it says, even so, when you see these things take place, understand and know that the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. And of course, that's why the Yahshua is showing you that and showing you he's in control right now. He could totally surround us with a cloud, totally blot us out from any eyes of the world at all if he wanted to, and may do it. A pillar of fire is also mentioned for this time period. By day, clouds by night, pillar of fire by day. Truly I tell you, this generation, those living at that a definite period of time, will not perish and pass away until all has taken place. The sky and the earth, the universe, the world will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But take heed, he says, to yourselves, and be on your guard, lest your heart be overburdened and depressed, weighted down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, and lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noise. For it will come upon all who live upon the face of the earth. That's verse 35. It will come upon all who live upon the face of the earth. It's coming. There's no getting out of it. Let's see, that was four, three. If you, the secret here, the secret, and this is what Yeshua was proving to us, and what he wants to know, is believing without seeing. Now, I put that in the song, and the children sang it. They said it did a wonderful job. The miracles we do not ask for. Without seeing, we believe. Well, that's shown in Matthew 20 and verse 29. And we were given that opportunity, brethren, and we passed it. And of course, Yahweh and Yeshua led us to that point, led us to the point of believing without seeing, showing that it could be done. Now, in John or Yochanan 6:29, also believe the one sent. This is believing without seeing. Believe the prophecies. Believe all that the prophets have spoken. Then you will believe the one sent. Believe Yeshua Messiah. That's in Yochanan 5:37. Yahweh the Father sent him. Sent him. And if you've got to believe the one sent. Well, how was he sent? He is spoken of at the mouth of the prophets. That's Yochanan 5:37. Yahweh testifies on my behalf. How'd he do that? At the mouth of the prophets. Yochanan 5:38. Yahweh's words not in you. Why? Not, notice, you better turn to that. Yochanan 5:38. Yochanan 5:38. Believing without seeing. That's where you stand right now. Believing the prophets. Believing the signs, too. Believe the signs that he just showed us. Can't deny that sign. The way he fixed it and the way he brought it about, there's no way to deny it. And 5 and verse 38, he says, nor do you have his word dwelling in you. Well, why? Because whom he has sent, you won't believe. So if you get what he's saying here, Yeshua is saying to you, if you don't believe the one sent, you're not going to have Yahweh's words at all. You're in darkness. Unless you believe the one sent, you won't have Yahweh's words dwelling in you. That's where they come from, the ones sent. When people buck up against the one sent, when they bucked up against Yeshua or the prophets, you know, they simply cut themselves off from Yahweh totally. Unless a person humbles themselves and submits and believes the one sent, they will not qualify. And he says that there in verse 38. Says it plain as day. Yahweh's words are not in you because you won't believe the one sent. Meaning, they must believe the one sent. Come to the one sent to get Yahweh's message. You must go to the one sent. There is no other way. Now, that's the words of your Savior. Well, in Luke 24, verse 25, he says, turn there, got to show you one more thing. He says, you're a fool if you don't believe the one sent, if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. And that's what these signs are about. He's showing us, brethren. He's showing us. He's here. He's watching. He knows exactly and is ready and knows how to protect you if you will submit yourself. In Luke 24, in verse 25, he said, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for him to die? Then verse 27, and beginning with Moshe. Beginning with Moshe, yes, look at Acts now, 3. Beginning with Moshe, in Acts 3:19, he says, repent therefore and become converted that your sins may be blotted out. And then verse 22, look at verse 22, for Moshe said to the fathers, Yahweh your father will raise up a prophet like me, whom from among your brothers, him you must hear, him you will hear, in all things whatsoever he says to you, and it will be that everyone who will not hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed. That's the only thing that's going to occur. You're not going to go in another way. Anyone who won't believe the one sent, who won't believe the prophets who spoke of the one sent, for Moshe truly said this. Also, Isaiah 2, he says, in the last days I will establish my house. Hebrews 10, back to Hebrews 10 now. This is where we started. Hebrews 10, and here's the Savior showing us he's well aware of us. Hebrews 10, and look at verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Yahshua, verse 21, who has become the high priest of the house of Yahweh, high priest over the house of Yahweh, verse 16, teaching the laws and prophecies of Yahweh. This is the only place on earth you're going to find them, by the way. Everyone else has rejected them. Teaching, and notice, teaching laws, turning you from sin. Back to Acts right quickly. Turning you from sin. Acts 3. And notice verse 26. Acts 3:26. To you first, Yahweh, having raised up his son, Yahshua, sent him to bless you. How? In turning every one of you away from his iniquities. That's the same thing we saw in Hebrews. With Yahshua over the house of Yahweh, turning people from sin. Got that? Now look over to Zechariah. Zechariah, everybody. Now here we have Yahshua. We have the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 2:2. In the last days I will establish my house. In the last days, Yahshua, thither your donkeys to the vine, and then the donkey's colts, which are you, to the chosen branch. And in the last days we have the house of Yahweh established. Here in Zechariah 6 and verse 11, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the heads of Yahshua. Yahshua, now it says sons of Yazidek, but that word means Yahweh. You find that in Strong. The son of Yahweh. Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. Of course. Now notice who is high priest. High priest over the house of Yahweh is what Hebrews said. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, behold the man whose name is the branch. Now, in Genesis, don't forget, Genesis 49, thither your donkey's colts, that's the last days, thither the donkey's colts to the branch. This falls right into place, doesn't it? Everything. You see it clearly? For he will branch out of his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. He will build it, the one called the branch. In the last days, I will establish my house. Yahshua will be high priest over the house of Yahweh in the last day. The branch is going to branch out and build this house of Yahweh in the last days. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory. He will sit and rule on his throne. He will be priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both. That is, between the branch and Yahshua in the last days. And up over this land Yahweh has given us, that was actually dedicated to Yahweh, he shows us the donkey. And he shows us the cloud in front of the donkey, which represented the olive branch, the olive branch and the donkeys, I got your attention, right? And that's what is shown there. The donkeys are in full. The olive branch has got the attention of the donkey that's carrying the load, that's getting the message to the entire world that would bring the nations to humble themselves to Yahweh. That's what's going to take place. After this is over, they will. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!